Welcome back to the Rob Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Neither one of them are here right now. But Lauren Lapkus here, and Richard Roper's
squared
here.
Squared have taken over.
Yes. Ro will be back momentarily. He's out there taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way.
Pretty sure he's doing like nine things at once, always.
He's fixing some things. He's back. But Lauren, those last 14 seconds we had, I'm going to send those immediately to the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Right, yeah, that
the
was
Radio
legendary
Hall of Fame,
right
yeah.
there.
Send it
and
to my agent. You guys were great.
And the
what
Peabody for
guy?
Filling 14 seconds. The nominees are the Topeka Morning Zoo with the traffic Jude.
I had
Ro Khan Show.
we had a little bit of a...
You okay?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Thank you. Thank you to CLTV for, you know, you just can't have the burrito at lunch. All right, here's the point. This is the most important thing. We...
A little recycling there, huh?
Yeah, that's what's going on.
Okay.
I don't know. Did anybody happen to see what happened over the weekend on the Korean Peninsula?
Oh, geez.
There was some guy there that I kind of know.
There's the President of the United States,
yeah,
and then
guy.
The dictator, but probably the most corrupt and bloodthirsty dictator of a major nuclear nation that there's ever been. That's potentially true.
He's his father's son, that's for sure.
And our president walked across a rock garden.
Yeah, there was
climbed
like
over something.
Tinder, there was a Tinder thing going on there.
Yeah.
It was very odd.
To go shake his hand.
Yeah.
Now, one could only imagine, had any previous president, name any previous president, done that, the hue and the cry, especially from conservative, pro-military, you know, security hawks. Imagine the response there. Bob Baer is joining us right now. He's one of the most decorated CIA operatives in the history of that organization. And I just wonder, as you're watching this, Bob, did you ever think that what you saw would be possible?
No, you know, if I'd been in the CIA and predicted that, they would have taken me away in a straitjacket.
Jeez.
I mean, he is, first of all, I mean, he killed his half-brother with biochemical weapons, with VX. He blew a relative, you know, away with an anti-aircraft gun. So he's not particularly he's not into human rights, let me put it that way.
Right.
And so for the president to go meet him, apparently beg for a meeting, walk into North Korea, and Kim Jong-un has done nothing that he had promised, you know, in the way of disarming. He hasn't even given a list of his nuclear weapons and ICBM missiles. It's just bizarre and frightening.
Well, and so then you wonder, with all of the security guys like John Bolton, who happened to be in Upper Mongolia during this meeting, and, you know, that's like a joke, right? Oh, they sent him to Upper Mongolia. They really did send him to Mongolia for a meeting. And you know, where the Bolton, who's been a total hawk on North Korea, Pompeo, who has been a hawk on North Korea, where are they on this?
They're like Kelly. They're like everybody else. They're just hoping for the best and that it doesn't get crazier. I mean, Bolton does understand the existential danger coming out of Pyongyang. I mean, they truly could fling a couple missiles at us and we would be in a nuclear war. That's the assessment. We don't understand that leadership. We just know it's very violent and very irrational. So,
and that it would
be
willing
to fight them all they want.
If they thought this was the end for them, they'd take out everything around them, is the idea there, right?
Oh, absolutely. If there were, and they're paranoid, it's a religious cult as it is, you know, more than it is a government. So, you know, and there's no plan. You never go to a summit without everything arranged in advance. The president doesn't show up and said, oh, let's talk again and talk about nice letters. Every presidential summit has always been, the outcome has been prearranged before it actually occurs in order not to embarrass the president or not corner him.
I would like to, you know, a campaign commercial could be showing Barack Obama doing all of these things. You know, one of those things like where they're just showing stock footage of Barack Obama.
Yeah.
You know, all of those things. And then say, and then just leave it like that. And then let the Trump followers, that speaking of religious cults, the Trump followers have it dawn upon them what a bad idea this stuff really is, right? I mean, it's, there's, to your point, this is Bob, one of the most shocking developments I can imagine in the history, the military history of the United States, because we have been spending the last, approximately 70 years dealing with the upheaval in Asia, that part of Asia. Then, after World War II, we end up with this, you know, communist insurgency in China and in on the Korean Peninsula. And the next thing you know, you have another war the United States gets sucked into, very, very war-weary after World War II, not really interested in getting involved in a war, but it became about the global conflict of communism and what were we going to put up with, right? And so this Kim family, right, these three generations now of this family have brutally created this regime, and they've built a pretty industrialized, using slave labor, it must be pointed out, and money and threats and terrorism and all the other things to get their will and to build monuments to their family while their other people starve in gulags. It's this exact sort of stuff we were fighting against in World War II, and they're doing it. And I just imagine as the president is happily trotting across that rock garden to climb over something to get to Kim Jong-un, which, again, he did. I stopped and thought, what if he had been doing that with Hitler or Mussolini or Stalin or any of those? I mean, Stalin was our ally, and we still didn't do it like that, right? I mean, it was like a crazy thing.
You have to put it in context. You know, a couple of days before, he's sitting down with Putin and laughing about, you know, election meddling and, you know, wagging his fingers like, don't do that again.
Right. Which, yeah, laughing about it.
For the Russians, that's just an open invitation. So, I mean, he's just, you know, come on, we have to face it. He's for, you know, allying with tyrants and murderers and flushing the Constitution down the toilet.
And in the meantime, you know, getting in various squabbles and feuds with our traditional allies and their leaders, you know, whether it's Trudeau or Macron. I want to ask you, too, Bob, because today Trump's saying over and over again that the Obama administration begged for these meetings with Kim Jong-un, which I don't believe has any shred of truth to it. I don't remember that ever happening, but that's what he claimed, that they had been begging for meetings, but they couldn't get them.
Well, it's not true at all. I mean, one of the most cautious presidents we've ever had, and probably too cautious, was Obama. And the last thing he wanted to do was expose himself by going and meeting Kim Jong-un, who he knew was beyond the pale. Because Obama knew he didn't know anything about North Korea and went to advisors at the State Department who said, don't touch it.
Yeah.
And he didn't believe in this fantasy of the art of the deal, that I'm such a great negotiator that I can talk this madman into giving up his nuclear weapons. I mean, Obama was grounded, and he was also fearful of attack from the right wing and conservatives and hawks.
Right.
So he would have never begged for one.
Only if he knew. He could have hired Donald Trump to do it, and it would have been just fine. Back then, Donald Trump was a Democrat and might have done it. You know, the story today, New York Times ran a story that that John Bolton's national security advisor lashed out at from his post in Upper Mongolia, that this was, in fact, not true, but the New York Times reported that the Trump administration is considering allowing North Korea to keep its nukes that it already has. It does not have to get rid of the ones that they have. Somewhere between 20 and 60, they believe that they have warheads available to them, either completed or, you know, enough to be completed in a short period of time. So if that is, in fact, the case, you go, all right, well, just no more proliferation. You can keep what you've got, which may, you know, in real politics, that might actually be what goes on here, right? I mean, that may end up being the solution to it. But that would be as flawed a decision as was that makes the Iran nuclear deal look like the Louisiana Purchase, is what that makes it look like, right? So in terms of deals that the United States has struck with foreign governments. So,
well, I mean, you have to consider what it's doing to our allies. They're saying, you know, what's the point in even coming to an agreement with the United States? What's the point in NATO? And they're certainly not going to help us with Iran. This nuclear accord was done in 2015. That just for no good reason at all, he got rid of it.
Right.
And now he's turning to the Europeans and said, help us, you know, protect the Gulf, protect oil. And they're saying, no, forget it. You know, you've deceived us before the 2003 invasion, and now you've got rid of this accord without consulting us. You do it on your own. And it's even worse when Trump turns around and tells the Japanese, hey, we're not going to protect your oil anymore. I mean, that's just shredding American foreign policy that goes back to Britain, you know, giving up control of the Gulf. That was always a pillar of our foreign policy, and for no good reason, we're getting rid of it. And then the Iranians are saying, we can't deal with this guy. Let's just go ahead and build a nuke. And their whole plan of going over the limits on uranium processing,
which they did today,
is basically a poke in our eye because they want a confrontation.
Mm-hmm. It helps them. It actually helps them in the world. They may actually gain allies from enemies here, which is what they're getting. And not just in the Muslim world. They may gain them in Europe. They did.
I mean, this special vehicle that they're going to trade oil with Europe is Europeans are essentially saying, hey, ignore the United States. Let's figure out a way around this.
Right. I just find it, you've got the president lining up with Kim Jong-un, Vladimir Putin, and Mohammed bin Salman, who, you know, killed a journalist, all that. And what's amazing
chopped
to me.
Chopped his head off.
Chopped his head off. In Washington, there's just a communal shrug on Capitol Hill. Like, what are you going to do? I mean, the Democrats, like Obama, they're afraid. What are they going to do? Because there's such fire and fury on the right, but they've turned the engine off on the right. They're just like, okay, well, we're not going to be mad about this because we're just going to, you know, it's good enough. We're going to get what we need. But what really is happening, with the exception of Mitt Romney, he's the only guy who's standing up and calling this out for what it is on a consistent basis. But the rest of the complete cowards in Congress, in the House, and in the Senate, and, you know, other types on K Street there, that are just ducking their head into the sand, they're doing it because they are so afraid that the president's going to call them out. It's going to cost them money. He's going to call out their businesses. He's going to try to primary them. He's going to do whatever it is. And they're just afraid that they're going to get a mean tweet from him. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, it's going to ruin their whole day or their month or their year or their career. And so we are living in a data totalitarian circumstance here, where we have a guy, we do actually have a dictator. We have a guy who is so cowed his own legislature, he gets to do whatever he wants to do, including cutting a deal with madmen who we have already determined as a culture and as a nation are our enemies. It's like insanity, Bob Bear. Insanity.
Look at taking Ivanka to a heads of state meeting and trying to insert her as the heir apparent to the Trump dynasty. I mean, the Europeans are just saying, you know, what do we do now? I mean, the guy has lost his mind.
Yeah.
And he's got his finger on the trigger of a nuclear attack, you know, and it's like it scares people.
Can I ask you, what's happening over in Langley, do you think, at CIA? What do you think Gina Haspel's thinking? I without crawling too deeply in, I mean, there's no way to really know. But, I mean, the people who are working in the offices there day in and day out, they know. They understand.
I know exactly what they're doing. They're terrified of touching anything that would counter the White House. I've just been passed on to me indirectly, but FBI agents are saying, don't open a Russian case, because if you do, you're going to be accused of being part of the deep state. You're going to be fired. You're going to be sent to Kansas City, wherever. Don't do it. So they're not. They don't want to go near Russian stuff. Same way with the CIA. And anybody that calls out the Trump administration on North Korea loses their job. So they're hiding. And Trump is already taking agencies and moving them out of Washington. So if he can do that, he can take out the intelligence agencies as well. So, and we do know that Jared is conducting foreign policy on WhatsApp, which is frankly against the law, but who's going to say anything?
Right, no one's going to stop him. Yeah.
It's sad. It's going to get worse, though.
Yeah. All right, I'll see you in the bunker. I don't know. I'll bring some more fresh water
right now.
All right, thank you. You keep taking. I'm going to bring water this weekend. Thanks, Bob.
Talk to you, Bob.
Bye. Thanks, Bob. Bear.
BB, another B squared. There you go. If Trump loses, whoever wins will have to spend a year just gluing stuff back together. The first year in office, really just putting stuff back together and going on apology tours and
it's going to take
mending
a decade.
Fences.
It's going to take a decade,
really,
to fix the things that
you don't think
are.
President Williamson can do it in her first term.
Yes,
she can make. She can
with
turn
love?
4 years into 10 with magical love.
Yeah, yeah. She turned her 2-minute speech into 4 hours for me.
Wow.
This is one of my fears going into this was that he's going to break so many things up. I mean, if it is true what Bob's saying about the FBI and the CIA, that everybody is running for their lives because they don't know what's going to happen. I always wondered, how does this happen to, you know, structures that are as clearly defined as they have been in these agencies that work regardless of who is the president and who's in charge of the Congress. I mean, they've always just been doing their job. And now they're not even allowed to do their job because if they do it, the president's going to get mad at him because they're getting in the way of his own business. Yeah. How does a corrupt state actually? And it is. I'm sorry. It just has to be said. But trust me, people who are mad at me for calling it corrupt. If this were happening with any other president, you'd be calling it corrupt.
Absolutely.
It just is. It just is. And just because the Dow is on fire does not mean that the rest of the nation has to burn. All right, I'm done now with my speech. Thank you. May I ask Kim Gordon what's happening in the I don't even want to know what's happening in the newsroom.
West Nile turning up in one particular spot in the Chicago area.
Come on!